Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church, waiting on God, through his exact image, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit, looking at the Word. This morning, Colossians 3, 12 to 17, and 2 Timothy 3, 5, and following, 3, 1 to 5. Contrast and dispersion. Some things are very different. In fact, opposites. Some things are so opposite that they are dispersed from the presence of what is authentic. This morning, that's our title. Contrast and dispersion. First, we look at Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Think of a surgeon coming in after dealing with bullocks in the yards to a delicate operation. Someone might say to him, put on your tender fingers, that you may do a delicate, patient, persevering, and proper operation. We put on our spiritual fingers, spiritual gloves. They should be very similar to the flesh. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Next time you are threatening to get angry, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Don't be aroused like some cicada coming out of the earth to make its strange song. Long-suffering. Do you suffer? I cannot suffer this man. No. We'll get some more long-suffering. It's available. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another. Do you know what he called me? Yes, yes, I know. It was very unfortunate. I will never forgive that man. Do you want to post your letter to heaven? Please do not forgive me, because it's someone I won't forgive. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There's a type of bondage you want to seek, not eschew. You want to seek this sort of bondage. It's bondage to truth, and in the great peace of God, in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Instead of having a warped resonance to a warped approach, let the peace of God rule. You used to have a song, Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Rule peace of God. Let the peace of God rule the waves of dissension where it is possible. Insofar as it lies within you, have peace with all men. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, reaching and admonishing one another in spiritual songs. I like that one we were discussing this morning. Will your anchor hold in a stormy blast, steadfast and strong? Yes, it will. I remember that from childhood. It will. It won't give. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be surprised what that will cut out, even from consideration. So we're beginning to look at Colossians 3, delicate and delightful. Colossians 3 is really standing on Colossians 3, 12 to 17, is really standing on Colossians 3, 1 to 5. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Move amongst the things which are above as you might move among beautiful rocks on the seashore. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Look up at the blinding beauty of the skies and the wondrous grandeurs of the ocean, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Don't be hypnotized by the things of the earth. Beautiful as they are, see the beauty beyond and behind and through them. Don't be captivated by their mere form. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died to mere incidentals as if they were your masters. They may minister of the beauty of God, but don't let the means of ministration themselves become your masters. And then this beautiful verse 4 of chapter 3 of Colossians. When Christ, who is your life, appears, when the invisible becomes visible, when the glory is resumed, when what he emptied himself of, the form of splendor, becomes the fact of sight, then when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, and therefore, one of the things it's been telling us is Colossians 3, 12, 17. Therefore, Colossians 3, 12, 17. Now let us select three items from this. Patience. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting. Have patience. Have a verification. As you see the water go up the tank after the drought is gone. Have patience. Wait willingly. Don't fret. Patience. Perseverance. Put on. The tender mercies may take a little while to calm down till tender mercies can be put on or even seen. Relate with the tender mercies that resemble the exquisite beauties you see on so many birds and flowers, designs of God, brilliant, captivating, magnificent, arresting, dramatic, dire, delightful. Put on tender mercies. Become sensitive to the underlying depth and wonder of the display which God has given to us, his lowly creation. Persevere in it. Don't allow yourself to be fitful, fretful, foolish. Put on the love which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule. Give it dominion, sovereignty. Let it have a an effect on you the way Vaseline might on an insect caught in it. But this is a wonderful bond. And looking at all of this, remember that Christ, who is the basis of it all, is the pattern of the Father, as it says in Hebrews, the exact image. And it doesn't come to life, rather it's come to an image. It has eternal life when Christ comes to an image, and that image is a display unit, and that display unit was Jesus Christ, and that display unit had power. And it wasn't just the battery-operated power. It was power that healed thousands of people, spoke with a solemn gravity, grace, and penetrating truth which no one could match, which was breathtaking. Now, we move towards the next. So we looked at patience, perseverance, and already at tender-heartedness, tender fingers in dealing with the souls of others, not tempestuous, tender. And now the opposite. So we will turn to 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They really are dangerous. This really is a war. It really is like going out to the front line during World War I. They're perilous. Bullets are whizzing by. Reminds me of my dad's experience when he went away from the cookhouse, which he was helping at in order to supplement his work as a gunner. When he came back, it wasn't there. Perilous times. We have perilous times, though we have an anchor which keeps our soul, and we also have a power which surrounds us the one that surrounded Elisha, flames of fire. Until our work is done, times will come, men will be lovers. Oh! We're going to have a flock of lovers, are we? Lovers of themselves. It's a funny thing, but when you love yourself, it somehow is repugnant. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. No, I like these pieces of paper. They can have my pleasures gratified, my lusts satisfied, and I find them altogether satisfactory. Someone might say, who is a lover of money, boasters. Well, without wanting to deprecate myself, I must say I am very good at this. I hope you realize that. Boasters, proud, blasphemous. I was staggered the other day when someone who has been very spiritual, gracious, kind, in the name of Christ, suddenly I heard her say the word God in vain. And a number of words which reflected just the jargon of the time for God. I could hardly believe it. I was utterly staggered. I'll have to pray what I should do about it. When speech becomes dismantled like that, there has to be a reason. Whether speech is necessary to correct or the prayer will suffice depends, no doubt, on whether it is repeated. I find it usually is a very good policy. Don't overreact at the first case of an error. Watch wait until it recurs, and obviously is not just the flicker of a candle. Candles can flicker, but a steady flame when normal doesn't need too much over-correction. Burst is proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. With some parents, I'm satisfied. The disobedience of children is supposedly a mark of character, maturity, a mark of leadership, of initiative, and is even to be encouraged up to a point. Disobedient to parents, however, makes for a wobbly canoe, and when they sink, you know it. Unthankful, unholy. Holy? What's that mean? They have no idea. No idea of the sanctifying presence and companionship of the Holy Spirit as he moves in their hearts and minds and spirits. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. I had an instance when in my nursing home, someone said, you're like a baby. You have to have everything done for you. I said, that is not the truth. I said, I lifted my legs up for you. Look, you have a look. See how the muscles tighten. See how the sinews become strong. There's a lot of work there, and it can be painful. I will not look. This was such a magnificent case, said the carer. I will not listen. And she went out of the room, taking some of my property with her. Well, that was an instance. My treatment was prayer and no comment. She disappeared from the place for a time, and that seemed to remove any sense of dramatic initiative that she may have experienced. Brutal despisers of good. That wouldn't dirty my foot kicking that, someone might say. They despise what is good. It's weak. It's willowy. It doesn't kick. It has no vibrations. There's no excitement. There's no drama. Despisers of good. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh, I love that. I always love it when it comes to that. I'd give anything to have one of those. Wouldn't you? No, I wouldn't. I like pleasure, but I never let it direct me. Having a form of godliness. Oh, well, let us have our prayers, shall we? Yes, let us talk to God and tell him about it all. That sounds about as sparring as a rotting log of wood. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Well, you can't expect God to, can't you? Why not? Bring every detail of your needs before him, we are told in Philippians. Every detail. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. I find in general that when people depart from truth in practice, there has to be a change in their doctrine. They unconsciously, if not consciously, tend to rationalize, to invent a reason which makes their change of behavior look good. But it isn't good. And its artificiality and formality and nominality is the evidence of its fairy floss character. When we were kids in at the show and we were given some fairy floss, that was fun because it was a fun outing. But to make fun of life is not funny. It is a derangement of dignity. It is the destruction of beauty. So there we have another way. The perilous times, the nominality, the superficiality. And let's have a look at some of the things we could have as an acronym. What about SHAM? That's not a bad acronym for this. And where do I get my SHAM from for the acronym of this particular part of Scripture? Well, SH for shortage. A for antithesis. M for manipulability, which means you're easy to manipulate. You're a sorter when it comes to slither. You can be made to outperform the magicians. You can be made to do anything almost, so long as the incentive is there. Oh, you're so handsome, so strong, so wise, says the one who strikes your proud psyche. And you will do almost anything. May not be as obvious as that. Antithesis. Goodness is good. Evil desire is its antithesis. That's the word antithesis. Every good quality, its opposite. So we have the A for antithesis. Anti, against. Thesis, theme. You've gone on a theme against the truth. The very opposite. And here's one to ponder. Shortage for the SH of SHAM. There's a shortage of peace. There may be a shortage of money. A shortage of good temper. A shortage of loving kindness. A shortage of quiet concentration. A shortage of tender-heartedness. A shortage of all that counts. Of all that has a presence, a power, a personal beauty. Of all that makes life living rather than an exercise in dying. SHAM, that's a word which sums up 2 Timothy 3's contribution. Now let's go to our selection from it. Well, first of all, Satanicity. As far as the devil is concerned, resist him and he will flee. Resist him in the name of Christ, and he'll be caused to flee. So think of satanicity. Not satin, Satan. The city of Satan. The quality of Satan. That brooding assumption of evil. That way of taking you by surprise, as if his things were your things. That presumptuous, proud, arrogant intrusiveness, as though you're his home. Satanicity, cause him to be kicked to the ends of the earth and to the center of hell, where he belongs. Never bear with him for a moment. Hatefulness, loving kindness on the one hand, hatefulness on the other. I hate that man, I hate that, I hate that, and so on. There are things which it is proper to hate. That is disruptive, disruptive indignities with dynamic. What soaks things in the sewage of the city? Hatefulness. Things ghastly to consider. Hatefulness. And then soullessness. Oh, look, isn't that lady, doesn't she have a soulful feeling, a soulful feeling? There is a sense of the beauty of wholeness, the calm of eternity. Oh, how soulful. You can almost feel the spiritual sweat as she dies daily with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, soullessness. Well, on the other side, 2 Timothy 3, at which we're looking, soullessness. Yes, that's what became of the Nazis. That's what became of the Japanese who were going to rule the Pacific with their wonderful skill. That's what has come with the Russian communism. I don't know quite how Stalin managed to up to 30 million people, corpses from his corruption, corpses which are the consequence of his corruption. How am I doing? You may be, I'm not saying you are, but you may be the greatest creator of corpses that ever was. Is that satisfying to your soulless indecency and your satanicity in which you are going like melted metals all mixed together at a vaporous heat, scorching, scouring, incinerating? So we have this election. Satanicity. Where do you rate on the satanic scale? Ask yourself. Hatefulness. Are you really a blithering hater? Or have you dismissed hatefulness as belonging only to qualities? And that which is so imbued with satanicity that it becomes virtually an extension of the devil's arm. Soullessness. Lovers of self. How romantic. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee we can say amen to the unromantic soullessness of satanicity. Grant us this grace that we may banish it even from behind our back and send our looks of repugnance with it. Thank you that we may embrace with cordiality the tender-heartedness of love and embrace much that is unlovely with it, that it may find the touch of the beauty of Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen.